Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
You're listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave.
This is Ben.
And John.
And this week, we have two guests with us that have been on our show before. We have Johnny Fournet.
Yo!
And Frank Duran.
Hey, how are you?
And this week, we're talking about the recent news that has come out of around the Man of Steel 2, or Batman vs. Superman, or Justice League, whatever it's going to be called.
Did you see all the bad subtitles that like came out? Did you see all the URLs that they copyrighted?
I did see some of that, and some of those were pretty crazy.
They were awful. They were like, "The Dark Knight Rises Nightly." .com. And you're like great. Yeah. You're like Darkest Before the Dawn, Batman, and you're like what?
Yes, well, but what we're talking about is Jesse Eisenberg. Is that
Eisenberg?
Which, has been cast as Lex Luthor, and Jeremy Irons has been cast as Alfred.
Right. I think they should. The new subtitle should be Superman: Age of Apocalypse.
Actually, as far as the casting goes, if they'd reverse those roles, they'd probably have a better shot.
Oh, God. It'd be hard to explain that young of an Alfred. But yeah.
It's going to be even harder to explain him as Lex Luthor.
Fair enough.
He's the Benjamin Button of Alfreds.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, unless someone has some argument, I don't actually have any argument with Jeremy Irons as Alfred. I think he actually could do the roles splendidly.
It's Scar from Lion King. How could he not do a good job?
Right,
like,
right.
He just has that voice. He just sounds like this all the time. And he's going to be like, Bruce, don't do that. Stop being Batman. And he's like, fuck you, I got to go kill Superman. And that's going to be the plot.
And he's going to look great in a tux with little spectacles and with his hair slicked back, all, you know, salt and pepper gray.
Yeah.
It'll fit.
I think
definitely.
I think it's akin to Michael Caine being Alfred. You know, you're putting a higher caliber actor who's older in that role just works. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I will ask, how big of a role is that really supposed to be in this movie that they need someone of that caliber playing it?
Well, that's true.
That's a good point. I mean, like, how much is this movie going to be about Batman, and how much is it actually going to be a Man of Steel sequel?
Right.
It's going to be Man of Steel 2, Batman Begins Again.
No, it's going to be...
The Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Justice League. Because they should just call that now. They should just be like, Man of Steel 2, Justice League. And that's it. Because, like, at this point, they've cast most of the Justice League, and there's rumors for the rest of them. So you're just like, But that's because they're filming them back-to-back. Did you guys hear that news, that they're filming...
I did hear that news.
Batman versus Superman and Justice League back-to-back, which is smart, of course.
Sure. But isn't this the same movie?
We'll see. Yes.
That's interesting, though. Are they going to release them, like, a year apart?
Kind of like The Hobbit, where they just kind of went boom, 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 boom. I assume so. That they don't have a release date for Justice League yet because they don't even have a script or anything for it yet. But they're, of course, casting for it, even though there's nothing for it yet. They'll keep casting.
Yes, because not having a script first always bodes well for a movie.
Right.
Absolutely.
That works every time.
Yes. Cast people first, then write around them.
Yep.
But great movies have been made back to back. I mean, all the Back to the Future trilogy was shot back to back to back.
Right,
so
right.
Was
absolutely.
The original Lord of the Rings.
And you know what made both of those cases work successfully? They already had scripts.
That's a good point. And that, sir, you do have a good point. There was books to back that up, but there's 100 years of comic book history to work from that I think can back them up on this.
Right, but source material and a written script are two different things. Like
with
the examples you gave, for instance, Lord of the Rings, you know, they had the scripts for the movies, aside from the books. They had the scripts for both, you know, 2 and 3, ready to go. They're written, the parts were cast, everything was good to go, so they were able to shoot them back to back. And the same with Back to the Future. The stories were completely done and written and ready to go. So it's a little bit different. In this case, it just feels like they are trying to keep momentum on a train that they don't even have all the cars filled up yet.
Yeah, I mean, you slightly have a point, but they have to keep the momentum because, I mean, at this point, Marvel's beaten them to the punch the entire time. They're going to be on phase three when Man of Steel 2 comes out. So, like, the second movie in our DC universe is coming out when the ninth and eighth movies for the Marvel universe are coming out. They're getting pummeled. They need to do something.
Right, like, right.
I love DC. I just want to see movies. That's the thing. Yeah. Let it happen.
It's like Screen Junkies said. Marvel's coming out with a main character of a raccoon, and they still can't get out freaking Wonder Woman.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't get out these legends. They literally write the movies themselves. I don't understand.
Pretty much.
If they did write the movies themselves, then we'd probably get it. But unfortunately, I think they keep trusting it to the screenwriters at
WB.
WB, instead of giving it to the actual DC freaking writers.
Well, you said earlier that Geoff Johns is now the producer on Man of Steel 2 right?
That just came out today as well. Nolan's out, Geoff Johns is in. The only thing that was cited in the article, which was interesting, is that Nolan was in disagreement of Superman killing Zod the way he did in the movie. So I'm wondering if he left because of that and then Johns is just filling the hole, or, you know, we'll never know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think a big part of it, too, is that if that's the case and Nolan wanted to leave because of that, that's a little, that's a little strange. But he can also move on to bigger and better things. And having Geoff Johns there, aside from the fact that he is highly placed at DC, he has a lot of experience with film because he worked with Richard Donner for a very long time.
He helped out on the Arkham game plots. I know he was the executive producer on the Arkham Origin games, and he also is on 4 books right now. The guy is literally comics. So, like, give the man a power with this movie, and we could get a good comic book movie out of this.
We still have Goyer as a screenplay writer for it, so...
Yeah. But, I mean, does Eisenberg kind of scare you guys with all this casting?
It concerns me. And I don't... Here's how I see it. I like Jesse Eisenberg. I don't have a problem with him as an actor. He was great in The Social Network. I haven't actually seen in a lot of the other things that he's been in, but my core concern with this is when it comes to this role, the role of Lex Luthor, he's young. He's too young, I think, to play the part because he's younger than Henry Cavill, you know, and I just don't think that fits. Well, actually, they're about the same age. But still, I don't think they're
about the same age.
I was looking that up as I was saying it. I probably should have waited a moment there.
Henry Cavill is 30, and
Eisenberg is also 30.
Oh, wow.
Actually,
Eisenberg was 30. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, he doesn't look it. He looks like a teenager.
If you look at the way he played
for the rest of his life.
Yeah, if you look at the way he played Mark Zuckerberg, actually, he can be pretty evil.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's not my problem, though. I think he can play evil great. My concern is that he can't play charismatic. He can't play the turn, the public face that makes him look good.
Right. I don't know, because he was in all those teenage comedies before. You automatically like the guy. Like, you automatically go, oh, Jesse Eisenberg, he's a likable dude. He's sort of funny. And then, but then in I wanted to call it Zuckerberg, but Facebook, the social network, he was very frightening. And I think if they combine those two, if they combine the likability of his teenage characters and the ruthlessness of Zuckerberg, then they could get a cool Lex Luthor out of this.
Yeah, but would you say that in those other movies he was, like, charismatically likable or just likable as sort of an underdog, you know, guy you can relate to kind of character? Because that's how I saw it more in those roles, and I don't really know that that's enough. I think he really has to, and maybe, who knows, maybe he has more range than he's portrayed. You know, maybe he will be able to pull it off. I just have trouble seeing it.
Well, one of the issues I see is the believability, in the sense of him being a billionaire. Are they going to play off of the Smallville origin of Lex Luthor, where inherits the company from his father? Or is he a self-made billionaire?
You can tell.
It's hard to say. There have been so many origins for Lex Luthor over the years. You know, originally he wasn't even a millionaire. He was a crook. You know, it wasn't until the 80s that they made him into a self-made millionaire in the comics. And then, Smallville sort of turned that even further, making him essentially a legacy millionaire, which I didn't really have a problem with, per se, just because I thought Michael Rosenbaum did an excellent job playing that part.
I don't know. My main concern is this going to be a bald Lex Luthor, or this going to be another curly-headed Lex Luthor? I mean, is he going to pull a Gene Hackman and just keep his hair? Like, what's going to happen?
Like, I'm sure I'll shave it.
I don't know. He might look like a baby with when he cuts his hair, you know? Like, it might make him so babyish.
Well, maybe that'll be a plot point. Maybe they'll somehow work that into the script that he loses his hair in the course of the movie through
Superman burns his freaking hair off.
Right, something along those lines.
Well, most people know Lex Luthor is being bald. I kind of think they have to work that in somehow.
Probably, but they could easily do that by having it be like he could keep his hair and have his hair work for him, but then have scenes where if he needs to be bald, he can wear a bald wig. They can make that look natural.
Mm.
Like they did with Gene Hackman, right?
I'm not saying that looked natural back then. That was the 70s.
They could do a better job now.
But the whole reason I brought up the self-made millionaire versus...
It'll be a green screen.
Most of the budget will go to making Eisenberg just bald.
Yes.
Anyway, as the reason I brought up the self-made versus the legacy is... Yes, I understand there's younger billionaires nowadays, but they're all famous because they've created something like Facebook or, they did something at Apple or whatever, where it's still more believable for an older person to be a billionaire and to be that kind of businessman who is ruthless and wants to, you know, take over the world. So I have a problem with the believability and his age.
I would disagree only because Rosenbaum is also, at the time, especially a pretty young guy who was bald and was very believable.
He was, but I think that what made him believable, like, for instance, he was not rich by his own means, he was rich by his father's means, and he inherited that role in taking over the company. And I think what made him compelling in that role is that from episode one, there was this mystery that he was chasing that sort of became his self-possessed motivation to figure out what this secret was. And it drove him down that path to create the Lex Luthor, even though they sort of killed him off in the show, to create the Lex Luthor we expected him to become.
I don't know. I think that this is going to be a self-made one because I think they're going to show that Lex Luthor created something because they already showed in that he had a satellite in Batman versus Superman and he had a shipping company and
he
had trucks and like there's a big industrial part of what he does. So like I feel like even though he's young, it's going to start off young, but he already had plans to like spread and like
But look, let's think that through for a moment. So so he's so we saw those in that movie. He's 30. So that means like even if he came out of college as some sort of genius in his early 20s, that's 8 to 10 years at most that he's been building something. And granted, I'm not saying that's in unbelievable, but to build something like building Facebook or building, Twitter or things like this that have blown up, it's easy for them to blow up that quickly because there's no infrastructure to it, because it's an entity that exists solely on online. Things like that. When you're talking about something that has an industrial component to it, because we saw train cars with the logo on it, that suggests something that usually that type of infrastructure takes longer to establish.
Maybe he takes it over. Maybe that's, they pull a Zuckerberg and he just takes over everything, you know?
Well, it's possible. He could be, you know, really smart business acumen at consolidating things and building an empire out of other people's successes.
Yeah, they might have a montage where he just rips people's business from them. Just like,
give Fair enough. That.
Well,
like a fatality.
Yeah, come over here.
Well, then I pose that question to you guys, too. I mean, if they're adding in Batman and Wonder Woman and then Lex Luthor as a villain, how much screen time do they have to portray that story as well?
Yeah. Well,
you want to hear my theory? You want to, like, because, like, I've been putting a lot of thought to it. Like, I think what's going to happen is we're going to have Lex Luthor blaming Superman for Metropolis being messed up, and they're going to be, you know, pissed at Man of Steel, and he's going to be hiding and stuff like that, and but saving people, and everyone's going to be like, no, you destroyed us, what the hell? And then Batman's going to kind of works with Lex Luthor to try to take down Superman, because they think he's a menace to society, and that's how Batman's going to be fighting Superman, and then they learn it's a betrayal by Lex Luthor, and then at the end of the movie, they're going to drop the Wonder Woman drop. Like, it's going to be kind of like Nick Fury in movies, you know, Wonder Woman shows up with Steve Trevor and they're like, look, shit's going down, and they're like, we need the Justice League, and then
will she have an eye patch?
Totally.
So you don't think it's
pirate Wonder Woman?
You don't think it's gonna be like, you know, Wonder Woman is like the Captain America equivalent to the three-way you know, forest fight from Avengers.
Wait, hold on. There's going to be a three-way?
Oh, I was hoping you just passed that one by, but...
Me too.
You can't let that one go.
But anyway, I think there is some... I agree, and Dave and I had actually had discussions about the whole, you know, early on when they first announced that this was a Batman-Superman movie, of how that interplay would work, and that Lex could be the... You know, the public eye sort of pointing a finger at Superman as a as more of a menace than a boon, and getting the public outcry against him for the things that he's caused. I think, and also speaking more to the industrial aspect of things, perhaps a possible path is that he could have, you know, his early work could have been some advances in robotics and intelligence mechanics. And then gone through some sort of various industrial buyouts from early successes in that to build something bigger in different types of various fields. But, you know, part of his contribution could be, in this case, you know, some sort of mechanized things to assist with the cleanup in Metropolis.
So he's Tony Stark.
Exactly.
He could be, you know, but not literally wearing a suit per se at first. You know, just building, you know, like Robotech type stuff to, you know, clean stuff up. There also have been rumors that Metallo might be a figure they bring up in this movie as well. Which
How many?
Means he could be the one creating Metallo through his... you know, backdoor efforts.
And the rumors of Doomsday? I don't know. There's too much in this film.
There are way too many rumors.
Wait, hold on. I didn't hear that. Doomsday?
That's not necessarily a new rumor.
There's rumors of Doomsday, and I'll flip a desk if they put in Doomsday in this movie. I'll just be so angry. I'll just be like, are you kidding me?
Like, yeah. Well, they have what? They've got Batman, Superman, and the rumors of Wonder Woman. So you've got to have at least three enemies for each one of them, right?
Right.
Okay.
In.
Okay. I believe it when I see
casting.
It.
If you look at casting in IMDb, the confirmed casting, they have Amy Adams as Lois Lane, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, Diane Lane as Martha Kent, Henry Cavill as obviously Superman, Ben Affleck as
Bruce
Wayne.
Paid for Batman versus Superman. That's what's important. Is she's getting paid for it? Like, this is not like, even no matter how much she's in that movie, she's got paid, and she's already got two other film deals for a Justice League and maybe a Wonder Woman standalone.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if she gets paid for it, and then everything she was in gets cut onto the floor. I mean, the luck with the Wonder Woman movies these days. But that's the point: is that you have so many heroes. You're going to have at least three villains for each one if we're going to, you know, keep up with the way the superhero movies have been going lately. Well, not the not the ones done by Marvel themselves.
So they're smart about hero, it. There's two villains each. If we're using the DC formula, there's at least have to be two villains for every hero. There has to be six villains in this movie. And
yes, some of the villains will count for two, though.
Would you say that they were all of these six were sinister in some way?
And they'll all get about 15 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, there could be a legion of them, right? A legion of bad guys somehow, right? Some kind of legion type structure.
No, like, I don't know. I think that the Justice League movie needs to be set up well, but you don't need to do it the entire time. It doesn't need to be an Iron Man 2 where they're being like, guess what we're doing, guys? Avengers. And you're like, thanks, but you ruined an entire movie. Like, why can't we just have a movie and then at the end you go, hey, go see Avengers? Like, because we'll all go fucking see it. You don't have to spend a whole movie being like, hey, guys, the Avengers are coming. And they don't need to do that for Justice League, because all they have to do is Justice League, and everyone in the world will go see that movie. It doesn't matter. So,
yeah, and I think that's kind of why they've gotten away from those setup clips, you know, in the last couple of Marvel movies.
Mm.
I think people are kind of like, really, do I need to sit through the credits to see 5 seconds of, oh, guess what? The Avengers is coming.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what was so strong about Man of Steel. I know everyone hates on it, but Man of Steel was very strong at setting up another movie by not saying it at all. There was Lex Luthor drops. There was a Bruce Wayne satellite. They were able to drop little things and you immediately went, oh, damn, there's going to be a sequel. But you didn't have to be sitting there going, oh, yeah, this is a trailer for another movie. Like,
right.
You know?
And Superman was able to drop Zod?
So you're saying they learned something from having Sinestro put on that yellow ring at the end of...
maybe not.
Between then and here, they've taken some learning away from it.
You know, it's... I actually heard something very interesting about the Green Lantern movie the other day that I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people
said... That it existed?
That it happened?
People are saying the biggest mistake they made was doing Hal Jordan versus Jon Stewart.
That was Neil Adams saying that. I thought that was funny.
Because all the kids are watching the Justice League cartoon, which is Jon Stewart is the Green Lantern. So you already have millions of kids watching that cartoon.
If they don't do Idris Elba as Green Lantern in the Justice League, they're being dumb. If they're not doing Jon Stewart, Idris Elba as Green Lantern, they're being dumb. Like,
to get this straight, we want Idris Elba. Okay.
Bruce Timm is the one that was doing most of the cartoons, and that one had Jon Stewart in it. But the newest Green Lantern cartoons, including the last movie that they made, is Hal Jordan.
But that was
the cartoon came after the movie.
Yeah, well,
at the same time, though, at the time they put out the Justice League or the Green Lantern movie, there was no current cartoon on for reference. So these kids supposedly watching anything, they were watching nothing. There was nothing out there to watch. Except reruns of things.
There was static on the TV.
So Idris Elba as Jon Stewart.
Good idea. Do not put Gardner in a fucking movie or I'll flip a table again.
Alexander is Wonder Woman.
A table warehouse for how many tables I need to flip for if they put Guy Gardner in a movie. I'll just have to run into a warehouse.
So who else can we steal from Thor to recast this movie, the Justice League? You know, I think that, you know what, who I think would be a really good Aquaman would be Chris Hemsworth.
Matt Damon? I don't know what you're talking about.
Matt Damon was Robin. Be
best Aquaman.
Wait, Matt Damon isn't Robin? What's going on here?
Hold on, I was confused. I thought he was cast already.
No, Matt Damon would be Speedy.
He's Impulse. It's just like, damn it.
Oh god. Yeah, let's pull a few more of those out of our butts. I don't know. I'm still iffy about how this movie's going to be, because it just seems like Marvel had a plan. They're sticking with a lot of canon. You know, and it's working, and DC is just rushing this so quickly.
But they're not rushing it, because they just delayed it to 2016.
Yeah, they added a year.
But they just got over a Batman series.
From Man of Steel.
They just got over a Batman series. They're not even going to have the last actor who played Batman.
Yeah, but that's do you understand what happened there though? Those were the Nolan films. Like those are not like it, those are a separate series. They're not Batman films that need to continue on in a DC universe. Those were
Nolan telling
his own Batman story, and I think it needs to be treated as such. Right. Like it shouldn't be treated as, oh, this is a Batman film that we're putting on. It should be treated the same way Tim Burton's Batmans were treated. That they go, oh yeah, these are Tim Burton's view of Batman because it's definitely not our Batman because Batman doesn't fucking shoot at the Joker with a gun.
So how should we treat Joel Schumacher's vision of Batman?
We don't talk about that vision.
That doesn't exist. Just like the other two Matrix movies, they don't exist.
And Superman does not work in the Nolan Batman universe anyway.
No, it doesn't at all. It's a completely highly realistic Batman. And I don't think the type of DC universe they're trying to create could survive in the Nolanverse.
What are you talking about? It was really real. The last Superman was realistic. He cracked somebody's neck, for crying out loud. That was pretty dark.
They're going to have to get into magic soon. Like, that's got to happen. Shazam, they're got to do Captain Marvel at some point. Like, even if they're not going to do all the Dark World, which they are, they're going to do Justice League Dark. Guillermo del Toro's been confirmed to be writing that. So they got to introduce that magic, and then at some point they got to introduce Captain Marvel, and you can't say he's not magic.
Now I have a question. Do you think when they introduce him, they'll ever use the term Captain Marvel, or will they just call him Shazam? Because do you think it will confuse the average moviegoer who doesn't know that Captain Marvel is a DC character?
Well, if you watched in the 70s,
yeah.
If you watched Saturday morning in the 70s, then yeah, it can be Shazam.
I think it all comes down to whether Marvel gets to it first.
If they do a Captain Marvel movie first,
then they win.
But wasn't it Miss Marvel in
She is Captain Marvel now.
Yes.
Officially.
Captain Marvel?
She became the Captain Marvel, and then there's now a new Miss Marvel.
Although
the new Miss Marvel hasn't officially been released yet.
But she's great. She's very, like, I've read the previews, and she's awesome. So,
yeah.
Worth the read.
I thought her name was Mar-Vell because it was Mar-Vell. It was after the screen.
Mar-Vell was the original Captain Marvel. But there was an event back in the comics a long time ago where, what's her name, Carol Danvers was exposed to something that gave her Kree-based powers so she could do all those sorts of things. And she took on the title of Miss Marvel for a long time. But Mar-Vell died in the past, sometime in the recent comic history. And so as a result, Ms. Marvel decided that, or she was convinced actually by Captain America and some other people that she should take on the title of Captain Marvel. And she did.
So she gets captain. She didn't even go through lieutenant first. I mean, she's kind of jumping the gun.
She was a captain to begin with. She actually, I think, is higher ranking than that.
She in the military, she's pretty high ranking. Like, I think she was a military woman. I'm not exactly sure. I'm sorry.
I kind of feel bad.
She was a pilot. I think she was in the Air Force or something.
Because Johnny's being quiet. I think he's waiting for a place to jump in.
I was going to say, that was a huge tangent for Captain Marvel, considering DC already changed the name to Shazam in the comics.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because, I think they're just going to call him Shazam in the movie.
Are you suggesting that we're having a moot argument?
Pretty much.
That never happens on this show.
I think we should just Google it. All right.
So,
one of those arguments. We should just Google it. Oh, yes. All right. Argument over.
But I will say before we leave that tangent, I do like the direction. I've been reading the Captain Marvel series since that change, and I think it works. I like that character, and I'd love to see that realized in a movie. And I'm looking forward to the new Ms. Marvel once that comic series starts being issued, because it sounds pretty cool.
All right. And if you want any more information, just, use that thing called Google.
I've heard of this Google you speak of.
Yeah, don't ask us, because we'll never get to the actual subject.
No, not at all. I mean, we kind of covered it. Jesse Eisenberg.
We did.
I mean, we're afraid he's young. I mean, that's obviously the consensus. But he's exactly the same age as Henry Cavill. So, we just think he's young. That's our problem.
Maybe. Well, let me ask this. is anyone here hopeful about him portraying the role? Or optimistic?
Yes.
Silence reigns.
Tiny bit.
I mean, yes and no. Like, oh, there's here, a spark. The thing, like,
moving off of that theory earlier, which is that Superman pretty much decimated Metropolis in the last Man of Steel movie. So I kind of figured that the motivation for Batman would be you're telling everybody your intentions are good, but your actions are you don't know how to not level a city. So I don't trust you.
Right, or break necks.
Power that you have, and that should be, as far as I can tell, the motivation with Batman. And Luthor would be the guy who wants to save humanity by proving that it takes a human to rebuild, it takes a human to save his city. The only thing that I don't really kind of, I can't sort of justify in my own head is because Eisenberg is so young, I mean, I get the self-made man. There are things that don't make sense. A self-made man probably in this day and age wouldn't think about shipping or oil or, you know, these are very old money kind of ways of, so I get an inheritance idea, but you know what I mean? It's like a dot-com guy in a sense, because that we've seen, you know, like from the social network. So I don't know if they're going to explain that. Hopefully it is an inheritance, but I don't see a guy that young taking on the onus of protecting the city and certainly the world.
Well, or he's into technology too, because you know you can make a lot of money off of that, and he's Lex Luthor. He's supposedly a genius,
right? But again, I think like we said before, he had to have grown something exponentially quickly first that didn't require hard industrial resources. Regardless of that, I think there's ways to explain a young Lex Luthor.
Mm.
My issue still is with the casting choice. Even if they find a way to explain story-wise all of that fitting together and Lex being, you know, a 30-year-old corporate mogul, Jesse Eisenberg, I still have reservations.
Okay, there is one other way to look at it. You know, there's two other ways to look at it. They could give us a Lex Luthor that we've never had before. They could be completely reinventing him for this movie.
With hair?
Yeah, which... You know, I don't think.
Well, that's Hoffman. Like he did Gene Hackman did the same thing. I mean,
right.
I didn't mean Hoffman, Hackman.
but another way to look at it is, you could kind of do something that they've done in the comic books and in Smallville a little bit, where it's Lionel Luthor is running the company. You know, it is an inheritance, and maybe Lex Luthor is looking up to Superman in this movie. Maybe he's a drifter kind of kid who doesn't have direction because he's, you know, in a rich family and he's being handed everything. And something happens in this movie that's the turn that makes Luthor go, okay, I'm going to go get this guy now because he's really the bad guy.
Maybe, but I think we are on to something with the age thing. He's only 30. In 4 years, he's able to run for president. Maybe they could be setting up Lex Luthor president plotline.
Now that would be interesting.
Because, like, he's young, but not too young that, like, even if he drops the line in 4 years, I'll be running for president. Like, you'll, in the Justice League movie, in the background, all of a sudden you have Lex Luthor running for president. What a cool background story. You have the Justice League dealing with everything, and in the background, Lex Luthor's winning the election.
Right. I guess my real thing with the age is he has played, like you said, he's been in a lot of the teen comedy movies. And then even Zuckerberg, you know, he was playing him young. He was doing him in college and whatnot. So we haven't seen him play mature, you know. And that's where I think it is. You know, you think of a businessman being a man, you know, not a kid. And I think that's where I don't know if he can do that. I don't know if he can pull it off.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have a point. I mean, he does a lot of, like, I mean, he's done some adult roles. Like, I guess he was on the show Newsroom, but he did the Social Network, and he did that movie called Now You See Me, which he was supposed to be an adult, like, music magician. Yeah. But everything else is just kid film, like, you know, teen comedies and stuff like that, like Adventureland and Zombieland. And so many lands in Rio. He was the voice of Rio.
Right.
You know, just there's not that much that makes you go, oh, he's an adult figure. So I understand your like prejudice, but I think we may see him grow up in this role, and I think we may have to give him that doubt. I mean, Maybe.
All right. So, before we start wrapping it up, is there anything else you guys want to cover?
I just want to know if there's going to be a scene in the Batcave where Bruce has to try to figure out how to disarm a bomb with gallons of water.
Absolutely has to be in there. If shark repellent doesn't make a resurface, I'm going to be...
Oh, goodness.
Nice one. I'm up for that. I second that. bat shark repellent.
Bring it back. To fight Aquaman.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
I mean, there's so many theories and everything, and that's the problem, is it's all theories. It's like, this is the most tight-lipped movie out there. Heck, we know more about this than Star Wars, but, like, other than Star Wars, this is the most tight-lipped movie out there. And just knowing that we know that who Alfred and Lex Luthor is now is huge news. Like, just because we know nothing at all other than Batman and Superman are going to be in it, now Wonder Woman, and that's it. We don't even know if the script's done. We don't even know. We don't have a trailer yet. We don't even have a poster. We don't even have a teaser, you know?
Although I might say I think we know more than we need to know at this point. Like, the fact that they're teasing out these little bits of information, they're jumping the gun a little bit. I think that this is all stuff that they could keep under wraps and let us know further down the road when we do know that there's a script done and we know that they're going into pre-production and actually getting somewhere. You know, right now it just feels like they're teasing out this information to whet our appetites for something that we're not going to be able to be satiated on for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm. We probably won't even get a trailer for another year. You know,
right?
Like, it won't even happen till next Christmas that all of a sudden they'll be like, the trailer for Batman Superman is going to be attached to Hobbit 3. And you're going to be like, yes.
Hobbit 3.
Hobbit 3.
And then Hobbit for the Revenge.
Best title ever.
I worry about you sometimes, John. I'm just saying.
And I don't know where that comes from. I'm just trying to think like an executive.
Right. So, Neil, I'm going to give you two gentlemen a chance to plug your stuff. So, Johnny, I did see that you...
Simultaneously.
At the same time.
Go.
Johnny, I did see that you recently posted a new episode. So you want to talk a little bit about Nerd Unemployed?
Yeah, there was a new episode. It took forever to get back into doing a new episode. And
did you have to lose your job again?
Huh?
Did you have to lose your job again?
No. And I think that's why it's been taking so freaking long.
Yeah.
But yeah, trying to get back into the swing of things overall, and hopefully we'll be cranking out on more stuff as I go.
Cool.
And, where can we find you?
Yes.
Oh, yes. the podcast Nerd Unemployed is available on Stitcher and iTunes, and you can also go to nerdunemployed.com.
Nice.
All right. Frank.
Hi, I'm Frank Duran of Real Books Don't Have Batman podcast. I've also had Superhero Speak on my show, Crisis on Multiple Podcasts, that is live every Wednesday at 8 or 9. I am also the host of Coulson and Friends, the only other companion show to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. other than Agents of Speak. So so it's always great to be with the guys who do Agents of Speak, and hopefully you guys check out the episode when they come back this Wednesday, this Tuesday? Is it this
Tuesday? Tuesday, yes.
Yes, it is.
All right, finally, 2 week break's over.
Yes, so Jeez. Since we'll be posting this probably on Wednesday, hopefully you will have watched this yesterday.
Yes, hopefully. yes, and saw the origin of Deathlok. So.
Nice.
Hopefully.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, yes. And then I'm just going to say on a final note, because we don't normally do this on the show, but yes, don't forget to check us out on Tuesday on Agents of Speak, 9 o'clock live on YouTube and on our Google Plus page. And
Nine-ish,
yes. Depends on how drunk John is. We understand. I know. It's...
I'm Irish. I'm sorry.
Rich.
And I'm also going to say that we were currently in the running for Podcast of the Month for Podcast Land, but we didn't win.
Oh, so are you serious? You didn't win?
No.
You were so goddamn close. Like, so
the voting restarted for January. No, I mean, sorry, for February. And we're still on there. So, and we're actually right now, even though it's only
day one,
you know, February 2nd, we're actually in the top five again because we got 5 votes at this point.
Real Books Don't Have Batman is in number 10. Vote for us.
No. Vote for Superhero Speak, dude. No, listening to.
No, come on. Right. You can vote for 2 shows.
Vote for both of them, if you'd want to.
Can you do that? Yeah, you're in the top 5, and I'm in number 7. Aha. Uh-huh.
They could also vote for Nerd Unemployed if they wanted to.
We'd have to find it first.
Any podcast that's on iTunes comes onto Podcast Land.
So
vote for that. the 99 spot.
So,
I get more shows out.
All right. Yes, that'll motivate Johnny to get more shows out. All right. Well, gentlemen, this has been fun.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh no, thanks
for joining.
And as always, don't let your cape be caught in the door. Have a good week. All right.
That was awesome, guys.
That's gonna be a short one.
That was quite the tangent, okay, though, on Marvel.
You gonna have more tangents?
I'm sure we could have come up with some.
As many tangents as superheroes that they're packing into that movie.
Yes.
And villains.
Oh, God. I can't wait to see what other villains are going to pack in there.
It'll be like The Amazing Spider-Man 3, where they're going to shove, like, every supervillain they can in the Spider-Man universe. They're just going to be like, get in there. Because, I mean, they're going to they're putting 3 into the next one, and then they have at least half of the Sinister Six there, so they just have to do the other half, and then you have a Sinister Six movie next. And then you're just like, great. Yes.
Sinister Six movie without Spider-Man.
I still don't know how that works,
I think they're going to kill Peter Parker Spider-Man off in Amazing Spider-Man 3, and they're going to use Miles Morales for the rest.
Because that would be smart.
That's a good, all right. That would be so smart.
That would be pretty interesting, though. I don't know if they could do that without introducing Miles Morales as a character in one of those movies. I think he needs to show up, even if he's not powered or doing anything. He needs to cameo in there somewhere.
He needs a background walk-in, like Eddie Brock in the last movie.
Right.
Just like, hey, Peter, and you're like, hey, Betty, and that's it.
Well, I think... yeah, no, but I think it would be a weird move with them bringing Peter Parker back into the comic books.
Yeah. Well, no, because if it's the Ultimate Universe. In the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker is dead and staying that way.
Yeah, it kind of happened somewhere.
Yeah. But I thought it was the Amazing Universe. Wait a minute. It's called Amazing Spider-Man.
That doesn't mean anything.
No! Peter Parker, Spider-Man, damn it.
They're going to do 3 Amazing Spider-Man movies, and then they're going to do a Superior Spider-Man movie.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be cool, though? Like, if they just went a really dark route, and they were just like, ha ha ha.
Okay, well, they could do that, but then in the next movie, they bring Spider-Man, Peter Parker back.
Oh, maybe. No, they can't do that, because they got to jump the shark and have Miguel O'Hara do Spider-Man 2099.
All right.
But somebody's got to stop us. That's
I think we're going to tag this on the episode anyway.
Why not?
All right, gentlemen. Well,
thank you.
I have to get ready for the big game. So.
All right.
And the Super Bowl's on today, too.
He's excited for the Puppy Bowl. He's super excited.
I know. It's, how can you?
Kitten Bowl. Kitten Bowl.
Nobody's no, Little Bob is going to be on the Puppy Bowl, so I'm going to go fucking watch the Puppy Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So, check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com. And if you want, there's our Twitter account @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.